Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Yeah, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, and it is indeed a football Friday. Hope your Friday is going well to this point. If you're getting off work a little early, especially if you're in the Katy area, an opportunity to make it go really well, join the fellas of the drive today. It'll be Bajani and B. Scott out at Pop Stroke out in Katy. That's going to be the event. Actually, join me, too. I'm going to go out there because this is the miniature golf spot that is designed by Tiger Woods. I would like to get my Tiger Hoods on, if you so please. And I'm going to go get me my Area 45 commemorative Football Friday pint glass with obviously it'll have Bajani and PC and Santiago's faces on them. This will be the first opportunity that you'll have to finish out the entire collection of the four different shows here on Sports Radio 610. So obviously come out, enjoy fellowship. There's obviously still ways to win, right? There's going to be giveaways and stuff that are out there, but you got to be present at Pop Stroke in Katy. Go see the fellas. All right. Talking more about this Texans team, what do you believe about this offense? Because the question I have here, John Lopez, does this feel like, I think we feel like the Titans team coming in is so poor that you should win this football game,
yes,
right?
Well, we both, you know, spoiler alert, yes, I think the Texans are going to win despite it all.
What are the chances that this could be a jumpstart type game?
See, I think that's the key to the whole game. What are the chances? Whew.
That's
a tough question.
Because
that really is a tough question.
There's a few things that that I've taken in. Obviously, we're all taking in all sorts of information. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're in a place where the Texans have annoyed you to the place where you're minimizing your Texas intake, which, honestly, va con Dios, I understand where you're at. But Nate Tice, fantastic football writer, writes for Yahoo Sports. He does the Football 301 podcast for them as well. Wrote about three offenses that are struggling. Teams that you thought would be playoff locks that are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and your Houston Texans. And what he talked about with the Houston Texans, obviously, was this offense, but also the offensive line. He started by talking about the fact that this team is bad on early downs. They're bad at running the football. Actually, let me give you the stats. Let me start again.
Yeah.
Running back. Bad on early downs because... and then they're also bad on late downs. Their 24% third down conversion rate is last in the league, mm-hmm. DFL, as you like to say. Bad at running the football because they're last at success rate in the NFL. Bad in the red zone, 0% touchdown rate, obviously only four instances. 24th in penalties. And obviously CJ Stroud has had a lot of pressure, hasn't been able to stay upright. I feel like there's a few of those that I imagine you have an opportunity to dig a little bit of your way out of in this game.
Penalties?
Penalties obviously is already there. I think that's the obvious one that any given week you should be able to dig yourself out of. We're waiting for that to happen. I think early downs, well, really running the football is probably first and foremost.
Yeah.
This is a Titans team that's not great at stopping the run. Mm-hmm. They do have Jeffrey Simmons in there, but I'm not afraid of the outside linebackers that they have, you know, Draymond Jones or anybody that they have on the outside. If you decide to run that way, if there's anything like some power that you might end up running, or if you bounce out off of a split zone outside, I'm not afraid of them stopping the run there. And even then, I feel like if you do it right, you get your hat on the hat, this should be a game where you're able to create avenues to run in. I think you might be able to help yourself running the football here.
No, if I had to Sean Pendergast power rank where I think they can be corrected, I would say penalties one, probably run on early downs two, or run
Well, early downs in general, they're just bad. Like, yeah. It's not just running, right?
No, I know, but run in general, those would be my top two. The one that worries me, and it kind of goes back to how you asked the question initially. You know,
what are the chances that this could be a jump start?
Right, because I could very easily see the Texans win the game, and we're sitting here on Monday going, man, you know, I still don't know. You know, I still don't know because of the offense. And, you know, maybe the defense gets a couple more turnovers than they had, in this game.
Which I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah. Because I was going back and forth mm-hmm. on this. You saw me physically do this, go back and forth. I look like the Larry David meme from mm-hmm. Curb Your Enthusiasm, because on one side, Cam Ward has dealt with a lot of pressure, and this is a team in the Texans on their with their pass rush. They can get pressure. In fact, they can still get relatively home mm-hmm. a decent amount. Will Anderson Jr. has a sack in each of these games. Yeah. Right? He can get home. But so, like, this is a rookie under pressure. In theory, you think turnovers are going to come. He only has one interception to this point.
Yeah,
I do wonder if he's going to continue to hold the ball and just take sacks. But is it possible that you jumpstart that aspect of it, the turnovers, because you only have the, you know, the Azeez Al-Shaair forced fumble, and then mm-hmm. you have the Jalen Petrie interception, which mm-hmm. was really a poor throw by Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, I think Monday we could be just slapping our foreheads going, man, that was a nice win, but, you know, the offense is bad, and I think the defense, we could feel better if they start to get some of those turnovers. The other thing that would worry me, and that I really want to see, is red zone efficiency.
Yeah. Well, red zone attempts at all.
Yeah.
Like, get into the red zone.
Get into the red zone and snap the ball because they are zero for everything in the red zone. And that to me is going to be alarming if they still have trouble with that.
Correct.
Because we know the Titans are not real good. And if you get into the red zone and the field is shorter, as everybody else talks about, and the lanes are smaller and all that, and you still can't get, impose your will enough to get a touchdown in the red zone, then I think we're going to have big issues. So, yeah, I think some things are going to be corrected, but I also feel like we could be sitting here shaking our heads again.
No, it's 100% the case. I think you're right in that regard. When I start thinking about it, I think one of the things that I'm hoping to see corrected, and maybe it's NFL, they get paid too, right? Mm-hmm. The slightly lesser challenge of a Titans versus some of the other teams that you've seen. I really hope that I see this offense start to show that, at least, even if I don't love the offense, that these guys are looking like they know it. Can I take you to Nick Caley here, Byron? Yeah. Can you help me out? This is a cut 12 from Nick Caley talking to the media yesterday. He was asked about the route spacing and how you end up with, you know, some instances of guys overlapping. So, like, what's the communication like, especially with Ben McDaniels, the passing game coordinator, with things of that nature?
I think it's collectively for our entire staff. It's not, you know, pinpointed to one person. Relative to spacing, you know, like we're never trying to stack receivers on top of each other. Are there times with choice routes and in zone coverage where guys can move and adjust and maybe it appears that way? Sure. But we're always trying. The biggest thing, to zone coverage and running routes is having depth and spacing, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think we have an egregious problem by any stretch. Are there some where you turn on the film and you go, well, why is this guy drifting maybe inside closer to a hook player, or there's a base it coming behind him? Maybe. Okay. But again, that's going to happen in terms of some zone distribution and where guys have spatial awareness and stuff like that from time to time. But I don't believe we have any major issue in terms of spacing. Is there things that come up from time to time? There might certainly be. But we build a set, you know, we build our passing game together as a staff. I don't see any consistent problems in terms of the spacing that you're referring to.
He was copping a lot of pleas there. But
oh my God.
If you are to be believed, this feels like a game where, again, 3 weeks under your belt, another week with Christian Kirk on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see less of those things. In fact, I want to see all those that kind of, you know, if it's option routes and making the wrong decisions for those wide receivers, I want to see those go away.
I was mind blown with those answers. Do we do it?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Yes. Are there problems? No. Wait, what?
Well, even, at some point, I almost felt gaslit. You know, there's some times where it might seem that way.
I was like, does it happen? Of course it
does. Not them dudes are in the same general area.
Is it a problem?
You got one defender that feels like they can cover both of them in that zone, so that's problematic. Yeah, no, I need to see that clean. Because, again, the concepts are established concepts, so mm-hmm. you should not end up with dudes in the same area. If it's these guys need to have a better grasp of what's happening, you got another week, they better show it.
Yeah, and well, I mean, does he have another week? This week is it.
Well, no, I'm saying this was another week.
Yeah, I feel as if... What I really want to see and feel on Sunday is not as if I'm not sure he's capable of doing it.
We're not.
I just want him to be like, okay, I see some adjustments because they have made some adjustments conceptually. They ran the ball, they threw the ball more, they ran Woody Marks a little more. They tried to get the ball to Nick Cale, Nick. They tried to get Nico Collins a little more.
It took me a second to figure out where you were going too.
But is that's conceptual? That's not like X's and O's. I want to be able to see some routes, some blocking schemes, some planning of drives, which is always something that, you know, you can see the good coordinator who saw it last night mixing this up with that, so the defense is on its heels. You know, depending on what personnel you have on the field. You know, setting up the next two plays, not just the next play. I know they've tried to conceptually change things. I don't know if he's capable of to actually change the plan.
And yeah, you know, I think as much as the game plan and we're going to put guys in the right place, the other thing that Nate Tice talked about, and he's 100% right, we've all talked about this, personnel's got to be, decisions have got to be better. Mm-hmm. Put the explosive guys on the field.
Yeah, the young guys.
Right,
Jalen Nolan in particular.
Those are the things where I go, all right, those are the opportunities that you have to get this offense moving in the right direction and possibly jumpstart anything here. Because, look, well, you've been on the side of the road too long. They don't mm-hmm. come tow you.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean when I say that, right? Get this thing going. Get this thing moving in a positive direction sooner rather than later. I wanted to circle back around to how you feel about Arionte, well, really this line in general, but how do you feel about Arionte Ursary right now? Because, like, the line is the thing that with all of this, we're like, yo, that is what it is, and you can't change it. I saw a graphic from the 33rd team that took an average of pressure rate, sack rate, and time to throw and trying to combine that into pass protection rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Texans are rank out of 32 teams in the NFL?
In all three of those combined.
Yeah, with this nebulous combined metric. And look, I understand. I'm already doing some things.
No, I get it. It's who you are.
It's obscure. Well, it's not my stat. I'm just using this. But it's pretty obscure as to how all these things come together. But
I would say the bottom 20s.
17th.
Oh, really?
So, like, there's at least one thing that you would be able to look at and say, well, hey, they're mediocre, as had been asked was the possibility. Do you believe that? Does it feel that?
No, absolutely it doesn't feel that way. You may mention Ursary. You know, they actually were asked about him and the positions that he was in as well this week. I can't bash on Ursary because they put him in this position. It's unfair to put him in this position. Andy Kalu said something very similar. He sees some potential there. I'm not giving up on him, I think is what he said. But I feel like this also speaks back to, going back one more step, to Nick Caserio and the development of the line. We're not going to go in there right now, but what I'm saying is Ursary I'm not necessarily worried about unless it just continues to fester and get worse.
Yeah, because, you know? I mean, out of 3 weeks, I think week one, he was pretty solid, but he had those lapses.
Sacks, yeah.
Week two, he looked pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And then week three, he had Josh Hines-Allen on his ass.
Yeah.
How does that come back in week four? Can he stack a good one on top? I think that he can, especially because, again, I'm looking at these outside linebackers, and I'm not really mm-hmm. terrified of them, but we'll see what it looks like. And, I mean, Sebastian Joseph Day at defensive end might have – I mean, I think that's probably going to be more of a guard problem, but we'll see if that ends up working against him at all. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think I'm going to be watching Tay a good amount as well. Obviously, the interior of the offensive line is all-encompassing is going to be something that's going to be a focus, but – I'm interested to watch that, especially because there's some things that look that you could add up and go, actually, it hasn't been nearly as bad. And that probably takes more of the responsibility and places it on Nick Haley to get some things.
Well, and you keep talking about, like, you know, how are we going to feel with the win? I think there's a little Diana Russini report factor here, you know, because this is the third week in a row in which D'Amico Ryans has said, we've got to fix the penalties. We've got to get to the line quicker. We've got to get in and out. The process has to be faster on the field, and it hasn't happened. So if it doesn't happen again, I think you can kind of point to maybe that's the issue, you know, coach and offensive staff or coach and Nick Haley. That's the number one thing I want to see is the lack of penalties and just crispness and a little more creativity from Nick Haley.
Man, people are not excited going into this game. There's a lot of not frustration. In the least bit. Is anyone excited going into this game? Like, is there any excitement? 713-572-4610. Because I see frustration. I've seen, you know, like the 713, Texans offense has been bad for 10 years, ain't changing this week. From the 832, if we don't put up 40, I'm shaking my head. Mm-hmm. There's a number of people calling for people's heads.
Of course.
And then there was one more that I wanted to get to. From the 832. I hope they lose.
What?
So they can clean house.
Whew. I don't know. Again, you know, you never hope for someone to lose their job like that, but you could see where it would happen. You could absolutely see where it would happen.
Yeah, this one feels if you do not perform in the way that you need to. Again, we have a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Diana Russini kind of teasing that there's things happening behind the scenes, whether it's, you know, D'Amico Ryans basically just saying we're all in this together. That's been the mantra, which feels like it's not a response to nothing. And then just clearly, you've had some things that have been deeply ineffective that are hampering your ability to be as good as you should have been coming into the season. Man, it's a wild place to be. Somebody said I'm more excited for the Aggies. Only excited because Cam graduated from my high school. Oh wow, no excitement whatsoever.
Yeah, shout out to was it Angleton somewhere down there? Cam Angleton. Ward.
Isn't he, and of course, as soon as I'm going to say it, wasn't it West Columbia?
West Columbia. He's from down there. That's in the Angleton area.
You're just going to be wrong. That's
no.
Hilarious. B. Scott, not excited. No promise. Where are you going to be looking to try and find some entertainment value or excitement in this game?
Oh, I think it's going to be a captivating game. Entertaining? I'll let you know. Columbia High School in West Columbia near Angleton.
He just keeps putting near Angleton in there as if that's going to make him right. You could be wrong. It's fine.
No, I understand that. I absolutely understand that. Entertaining is an interesting question.
I think I haven't mentioned his name today, but we've talked about him. Elik Iyemonur. I still go back to that Stanford game that they had against Colorado where he put up 200-plus yards against Travis Hunter, and they were just dog fight back and forth. I'm interested to see him and if he's looks to be that guy, and obviously if the Texans – can shut that down.
That's
crazy because I'm thinking about it, there's not something that and then of course it's Nico Collins, right? The opportunity for him to go and shut up L'Jarius Sneed, who probably shouldn't have been talking in the first place. But yeah, as you think about it, there's not a lot of things right now that are like genuinely
like excited.
Maybe trying to see
intrigued,
seeing the ends go off, right? Seeing Will and
turnovers, maybe defense doing their
possibly
thing.
Yeah, this is just work, man. Like, this is for the Texans. Actually, for us as well.
Yeah.
But for the Texans, y'all just got to get in here and work. Like, this might not even be fun for them on the field.
Yeah.
You just got to go and work. Because right now, that's what's necessary to dig this thing out. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Wanted to remind you, at 2, you want to make sure that you're out at Pop. Of course, I said it. I was Pop Stroke. There we go. Took me a second to come back to it. Pop Stroke out there in Katy. 23110. What is the address? 23110. I do know that is where you're going. It is Grand Circle Boulevard. There you go. And Katy, go out and see the fellas. That is B. Scott and Bajani holding down the drive today. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, about the time where I typically turn things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. Fig's out today, so I'll be handling the duties of the mixtape. And yesterday he gave you the friendliest cities in America. What about the unfriendliest cities in America? We'll do that. And a reminder of why college football is so damn weird. We'll do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.